Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Now, let me go to my guest this evening. Beatrice Redoza is a multifaceted artist, healer and tantric practitioner based in Dublin and Prague. With over 15 years of experience, she has immersed herself in tantric philosophy, healing arts and ceremonial practices, blending ancient wisdom with modern spirit. Why does that word want to come out? Anyway, and is as a certified massage therapist, she incorporates techniques learned in Kerala, India, alongside her training in tantric and psychotherapeutic counselling. Her sessions, which she describes as ceremonial experiences, are designed to help individuals reconnect with their bodies, emotions, and sexual energy as a source of creative and self-empowerment. And she joins me. All sounds very interesting, doesn't it, to be honest with you? Beatrice, hi, how are you?
Introduction.
Oh, no, I'm just sorry I couldn't get one of the words out there, spirituality. It just wouldn't come out of my mouth for some reason. I don't know why. Anyway, explain to me in simple terms, I suppose, because what you do seems to be quite, I suppose, how do I describe this? It's really detailed. I mean, so when you have clients or when you have people come to you, what is it you actually do? And you describe it as a ceremony. Every session, every massage session, for example, is a ceremony. So what are the elements of that?
Yeah, like a very important part of that is actually body work. So it's coming, because even though it sounds all very like oriental, and it is, there is some certain inspiration from the Eastern philosophy, but in reality, it has also lots of to do like with Wilhelm Reich's work, Carl Jung's work. So because especially when it comes to tantric massage was actually created in Germany in the 80s. So even though inspired by tantric philosophy, tantric massage itself is created in Europe in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so big part of that is actually body work. And so usually people know the connection of, we call it, for example, psychosomatics, that our emotional and mental well-being directly affects also our physical body.
Okay, most of us don't understand the connection.
Yeah. So in the same way that there is like, also the thought of it, that lots of things that we store in our body, and it can be stress, it can be trauma even, and so that actually it is stored in the body, and through conscious touch and massage, because, you know, I learned also massage techniques and all, it can be released. So it is like one very important part of it. And then the other side of that is that it is done in a very ceremonial way. Mm-hmm. So that's where it comes in, the Eastern philosophy, and there are some also techniques from yoga, like breath work, so certain mindfulness that people slow down, focus on themselves, focus on their body, and through that, then the combination of focus on the body, but also the mental calming down, that it works together. And actually the ceremonial way through that, it works to it too, because it gives the feeling of like, hey, something important is happening right now, certain respect to it. And I think that all of these components together then work well.
Now, you have a project which is called Little Intimacy Secrets, and that aims to kind of liberate intimacy from societal shame, especially for women. What kind of inspired you to start that project, and what's the core message of that project? That kind of Little Intimacy Secret. So this idea that the societal shame, is that societal shame around sex or about nudity, or what is that societal shame?
Well, I think it's rooted already like for a long time, like thousands and thousands of years, that we are these times very recently trying to somehow acknowledge it, all these our subconscious societal expectations and ideas. And and it is basically very much focused on taking shame out of our physical, physical living through that, even like to be embodied in your body, connected with your sexuality in a way, in a healthy way, in a way that also it's very important to be realizing your boundaries and like safe zone and comfort, because also nothing, it's also like consent and all of these things. It's like very important part of it. And for example, especially victims of sexual abuse. And so like this kind of like a line of can be blurred of, you know, your personal space, and that you can actually hold space for you where you feel comfortable. So you went through this way to kind of learn or more be conscious of it. And yeah, and basically then it's all, I think, done lots of things of like religious backgrounds, and so that put this shame on us to kind of also, and on women especially.
Women
kind of got it really badly for past few hundred years.
I hear from women on a regular basis, you know, particularly if they've been in a relationship for a long time and then they get separated or divorced, right? And then they tell me that, you know, they've met somebody new and they describe themselves sexually as an awakened woman. I don't know if you've ever heard that term. In other words, they then realize, or they can experience sexuality and the sexuality of their own body more than they've ever done before with a person they were married to maybe for 30 years, because they didn't get to experience all those things. But once they find somebody new or go into a new relationship, they experience all those new things, things they didn't even know knew existed about their own body.
Well, that definitely happens. So firstly, as older we get, the better we know ourselves. And then definitely also the experience of change and bigger exploration also helps on the part of self-exploration, actually realizing what you like. I think mostly, especially I can talk what for women, sometimes it can be really hard for us to even realize what we like, because there is this feeling of like fear around pleasure. Like the pleasure is something that women should not experience, because then straight away it could be connected like with shame, slut shame, and all these things. So it's like better to not have the pleasure, because that's how good woman should be like.
Yeah, yeah. There's that kind of stereotype,
isn't it? Good reputation and all of that,
It's got a stereotype, isn't it? That it's like that old stereotype when I was younger, that, you know, if a guy had been with a lot of female partners, you know, he was a hero. But if a woman had been with a lot of male partners, she was a slut. And that kind of double standard in society. Which
and it can't happen one without another, because guys can't have loads.
But I think that's changed. Oh, it can happen the other way. Yeah, but I think that's changed, hasn't it? I mean, do you think that's changing now?
Yeah, slowly it is, but it's still like, yeah, like we talk about it. Let's say that we are now in the stage of that we are capable to talk about, but it's still underneath the subconscious. Didn't change like so much, but we talk about it, and that's where to start in the first place.
Do we talk about sex enough, by the way, you know, Beatrice? Do we, I mean, are we afraid? I mean, here in Ireland, of course, as you well know, probably, we're a bit shy about talking about sex. Like, for example, I'll give you an example. I have friends who work in media in the United States, and they will have shows similar to this where people call in and they will have, say, a sex therapist on. And callers will call in with their problems and say, oh, can you tell me how to do this, or tell me how to do that, or, you know, this kind of sex or that kind of sex. Mm-hmm. And they have no problem getting people to come on the air. If I did a show tonight and had a sex therapist on and asked people to call in, they won't come on. Irish people are too shy to talk about sex.
Yeah. They are. And on some level, it can be cute. I can be shy too. And my profession is to talk about. Because sometimes it's also hard to find such words that you know that the receiving end will actually receive it in a relaxed way. And you know, it doesn't shock people.
Mm. Well, you can never shock me. Don't worry, Beatrice. You won't shock me. But I'm used to hearing everything.
So it's also about the art of like using, knowing what words to use. And but yeah, it is a very sensitive topic. It's very intimate too, and it always will be. Like anything, like we don't talk also about what we do in our bathrooms. Like there is a certain also societal norm of like what ethics, and it should be on some level always like a certain respectable topic, but there should not be shame about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because it is, and it is very hard because it's in so much in our subconscious, because it's like the whole like culture, and to change that, I find it, for example, also very hard. That what I would really love to, and I find it quite difficult here in Ireland, especially women getting more involved in these topics and create space where women together would be able, in a safe space, talk about their experiences.
Mm.
Because I, for example, know how nourishing it can be when I do it with my female friends or with my colleagues, and it's like, it's so important that you can openly share your experience with people that you trust and you feel comfortable, which definitely we will never talk about it really with random people, but to have always few friends that you know that you can trust and you can talk about, or you can have therapists, or definitely when this is discussed in media, it also helps because it encourages people that, hey, it can be a normal topic to talk about how satisfied or dissatisfied we are with our sexual life, or how enrich our life, or how reconnect with partner, because it can, you know, it's the usual thing. It always happens that, you know, after some time, yeah, life goes on. And
you're no stranger, by the way. You're no stranger to talking about, you mentioned bodily functions in the bathroom earlier on, but you're no stranger to talking about bodily functions because, of course, you talked about what you call it, the period monologues, and the importance of sharing stories around menstruation and women's cycles. So, but women don't talk about that either. They don't talk about menopause. They don't talk about, you know, menstruation. They don't talk, you know, they kind of make these dodgy words. Oh, it's that time of the month again. You know, they don't talk about it. And when they don't talk about it, us men don't understand it. That's the problem, isn't it?
And, oh my God, and I can talk about it. I have son. And it is hard then also as a parent to navigate this. And I'm, for example, now I am in time when he's old enough that I know that's the topic I need to like start to discuss with him. And it's so important that also boys and men are informed about all of these things, so they don't have to feel awkward too and can be supportive and understanding as a normal part of women's life, their sisters, partners, daughters, because like it's super important. And I think it's changing. Like it is changing. We see more initiatives around even in corporate sector. Like I heard that it's changing, that even there are some discussions still happening in workplaces and so. But but it still needs to get normalized, to just understand that every boy understands how girls' body works, and girls understand how men's body work, just to see each other for what we are, you know, not seeing each other through some filters of some ideas of the other gender, which then we get just from fairy tales.
Yeah, absolutely.
These kind of stories, which is
and
also
here's the thing.
Not realistic.
Here's the thing, right? So you're a feminist, okay? And you describe yourself as a feminist, right? So how do you kind of navigate the intersection between modern day feminism and, I suppose, the art of ancient tantric practices, which would be completely opposed to each other in some sense, wouldn't they?
I don't see it as opposed. Why do you think it is opposed?
Well, I suppose maybe that's just me, the way I'm thinking of it. I suppose when we talk about modern day feminism and then ancient tantric practices, I suppose they would be based on a time, or they would come from a time, where women were treated very differently. Where women were seen differently in society. So those practices would be based on those perceptions of women. Maybe am I thinking about this wrong?
Actually, to this date, we really don't know exactly about times when the patriarchy was not the way we know it today. Like we know about some like indigenous tribes around the world, it's just very few left of them, that they live actually on matriarchal way. So it's not that it doesn't exist, and definitely it's not true that it didn't exist in the past either, I think, but also over time what could happen that loads of the things also disappeared over time. We see it even through art and everything, that when it didn't correspond with the trend of that time, how people wanted to perceive the traditional roles, gender roles.
Yeah.
So I think that loads of things actually were not preserved that we don't know exactly today. And it's slowly, it's coming up, like anthropologists and all, there are always news coming out that we are putting the picture slowly together. And it seems it was not always just, yeah.
Yeah.
And especially in the old, like, for example, when we look to Indian philosophy, let's call it more, because Hinduism, it's like very, and tantrism is more like philosophy than anything else. It actually, in many ways, the aspect of divine feminine is much more present in there. Much like, it's more prevalent there than, for example, that we know in traditional Judaism, Christianity, and especially like monotheistic religions, where it's a very divine feminine is there, very suppressed. Everything is about like male. All prophets are males. God is half time seen as male. And which, for example, in Hinduism, it is not like that. There is always the female aspect. Also, we have many goddesses there, and there is present also a female aspect to it. And for example, tantrism is very focused on feminine aspect. It's also called, it's a section of Shaktism, Shakti, it's a goddess. And actually there is, in that philosophy, there is much more present some philosophical ideas of female energy, how can be manifested. And we can see there are also lots of different like feminine archetypes, because there is many different goddesses that have many like different characters. And so it also then shows more that women can be also in many different ways.
For example,
in Christianity, we have like, you know, just Mother Mary and Magdalene. She was for a long time prostitute. Now they made her saint too. But like, you know, there was not too many like women that you could look up in there. It's not in Hinduism really like that.
Okay, guys, I don't have too much time left, and I want to get more. It's been very interesting talking to you so far, but you kind of speak about this, the importance of self-care, I suppose. But what advice would you give to people, primarily women, who are trying to kind of reconnect with their bodies and their emotions, I suppose, in this kind of fast-paced digital world where everybody's working too hard and we don't get a good, you know, work-life balance? You know, what advice would you give them if they're trying to reconnect with their own bodies? Is there exercises that you can do to reconnect with your own body and sexuality, et cetera, et cetera?
Oh, there definitely are. But we are today so much focused on actually activity, exercise, do this treatment and that treatment. And I think that women more are like now in a cycle of doing all the time something and not giving time for themselves, because they have to look after children. They go from work, they get back home, look after children. It's like all the time. And I think that even through generations, we women develop this feeling of like guiltiness if we have just time for ourselves, because it's just that all the time, oh, kid asked for something, I'm running, I will bring it there. All the time serving to family. And like, I actually think that the most revolutionary thing to do, connect with themselves for women, is to actually do less and give time for themselves. And sometimes just to say, no, I'm not getting up and I will not do that. And I actually will go and I will go for massage and I will find 2 hours for myself, that nobody will be disturbing me, just so I can have time for my feelings, my thoughts, where I am at, and not being distracted all the time by needs of other people. So I actually think it's more to do less. Give that space and time for yourself to have break and do less. And if you really want a break, go for a massage. It always connects
a tantric
with
massage.
Body well.
Tantric.
And,
yeah.
And tantric massage, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Love the massage.
I mean,
not tantric, any good massage is really good.
I mean, have you ever talked about, you know, I heard Sting and his wife seem to be quite fond of tantric sex or tantric intimacy. Is that something that you mm-hmm. talk about to people about tantric intimacy? And maybe you could explain that for our listeners who don't understand completely what tantric intimacy is.
Yeah, it's actually really more than about some certain practices. It's really about the intimacy. Where the most I use certain techniques. And so if, for example, when couple want to reconnect again and make more alive their sexual life again after 10, 15, 20 years. You know, it's hard to keep up, and because people grow apart, they are both busy, and then again to find that space together to connect. And sometimes it's really hard, and it starts so simply just by actually hugging, being more present to one another, giving the time to one another fully, doing nice things for one another. And even then on the physical level, it really usually starts with such simple things like to be mindful, to be able to sit with one another, in front of each other, present with one another, appreciating one another, and conscious touch, giving conscious hug, because that's anyway where any intimacy has to start before it can develop into any other interesting, nice experiences. But usually where people have, where the blockage starts is actually where to start. And that's to be more willing to give to one another that time and that mindfulness and conscious touch. And sometimes it's actually good even to be giving massage to one another, to be conscious of, like, because that's how we can easily connect with body.
Yeah, massage is, between couples, massage is lovely. It really is. It's a nice way to connect with your partner or your partner to connect with you as well, I think. It really is nice.
Yeah, and you can use nice oils and you can make it really nice and dramatic with some candles and
some nice smelly oils
for one another.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, listen, it's been lovely talking to you. I'm sorry we've run out of time. If people want to get more information on you, by the way, where's the best place to go if they want to look up some of your stuff? And I know you have a lot of stuff to talk about. I could have spent another half an hour asking you questions, but where's the best place to go if they want to get some information on you?
So definitely contact me online, Little Intimacy Secrets. That's Tantra, or my personal or my other page, Beatrice Radoza. If they put it to Google, it will come out. And yeah, and they
okay,
can contact
me. Okay, so if people want to look it up.
I'm based in Dublin, but so
okay.
Yeah.
So it's Beatrice, by the way, for people who don't know, it's spelled like Beatrice, B-E-A-T or... I-C-E, and it's R-A-D-O-S-A.
S-A.
Okay, so it's Beatrice or Beatrice, as most people would probably pronounce it here. I know you pronounce it differently because I think you're... Are you French, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's French name.
Okay.
Even though I'm... Yeah.
Well, Beatrice Radoza, you can find her online, and the other way to find her is Little Intimate Secrets, and you can get as much information as you want there. It all sounds very interesting, and you all should sit down tonight now with your partner in the nip and just look at each other and touch each other gently. That'd be nice. All right. Listen, Beatrice, it's been lovely talking to you. Thank you very much indeed.
It was lovely to talk to you.
See you then. Bye-bye. There you go, Beatrice Radoza. Very interesting. And I know a lot of people are into that kind of tantric side. You can be tantric with your partner. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in your nip either. You know what I mean? You know, you can have a thing where you just agree to give each other a hug every now and again. It's nice, isn't it? It's a nice feeling. Kind of passing an energy to each other that, you know, that you care about each other. It's really important. I think a touch is really important. Really, really important for couples. Anyway, thank you very much indeed to everybody who got involved in the show tonight. Again, we apologise to everybody that we couldn't get on the show. So many of you wanted to come on, but unfortunately we just were limited by time. And thank you to everybody who got involved in the show. Thank you to Connor. Thank you to Molly. Really appreciate it. I should talk to you again tomorrow night, same time, 9 o'clock. Enda Murphy's on the way with some wonderful love songs.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.